Let us pray together. Gracious Lord, we are here this morning. We have come to this, your house. We've come in an attitude of prayer and expectation. So as we hear your word read and preached, as we sing your word through hymns, and as we share fellowship with each other and with your Spirit, instruct us, inspire us, and then send us forth from this holy place into your world, which you love, but into which we are sent to make a difference for good. Now bless us as we worship. Amen. Our hymn of praise is Spirit of Faith, Come Down. It's number 332 and also on the screen. We'll stand as we sing.
Oh,
Let us affirm our faith by repeating together the ancient creed known as the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. At this time, I'd like for the boys and girls to come forward. I have something to talk with you about. Would you come? Good morning. How are you? Mr. Nike, how are you? Good. I want you to do something for me, okay? All right. Do this with your hands. And then rub them together real fast, hard, real, real, real fast, faster still. Did they get warm? Did yours get warm? Mine did too. How come those hands heated up when we did that? Do you have any idea? Why didn't they get cold? Yeah, got real warm, didn't it? It got warm because this is called friction. Now, what actually is happening, you can't see them on my hand, and you can't see them on yours or yours, but you have little teeny tiny pieces of skin known as molecules. Can you say molecules? Molecules. Can you? Molecules. Very good. Well, you do this and friction starts and the molecules start spinning and they heat things up. You have a microwave at home? Microwave at home? Okay. Well, she's got one. We've got one. Many have one. Well, what do you do in a microwave? If you want to do what you put in it, what? Yeah, heat up pizza or something. You got it. Yes. Okay. Now, what happens when you close the door and set the time and push the button? What happens? The table turns, but there's a electronic beam that comes, and it makes the molecules, that's that really teeny tiny, on that food, it spins them, and they go faster and faster, and it heats it up. Check it out. I bet you can't see it. I bet you can't see it happen when it happens. That's what I want you to remember. There are all kinds of things out here that cause things to change. It's in the spirit realm. It's in the magnetic realm. That's another long, big word, a magnet. You know what a magnet is? You know what a magnet is? Ever had one? We'll talk about that another time. But right now, I want Mr. Wayne to go to his piano, please. And I want you to strike a pitch which is very high. Strike it again. You know what he did? He set in motion sound waves, like a microwave. And those sound waves hit our ears. Wayne, is the string that you hit, is it short or long?
Short.
A high pitch, strike it again high, has a short wave. Strike a deep pitch. Oh my goodness. That's real deep, isn't it? How long is the string on that one?
Very long.
Very long. Now, boy and girl, what we have happening here is something going through the air, a short wave was the high pitch, and a long wave was the low pitch. I couldn't see it, could you? But we could hear it. Now, this is a way over your head, but I want to start you on that because it's not impossible. And you people know about these things, don't you? You have a cell phone at home? Do you ever make calls on the cell phone? We'll talk about that another time. You have a cell phone too? Okay, but you've seen them work, haven't you? They're neat. Well, that has to do with wavelengths too. That has to do with frequencies. And I want to tell you all of this because we're also talking about prayer. Prayer. It's a wavelength from here. More about that later, but let's have a prayer. We're going to talk to God. And when we talk to God, we're sending impulses to God through our voice, through our mind. And God's going to hear us. Isn't that neat? Dear God, thank you for these ideas, which are different, which are complex, but which we all know about and use all the time. Bless us, O Lord, in our understandings. Help us see what's going on in the spirit realm. And bless us when your Holy Spirit is active and we can see that Holy Spirit as well. Amen. And thank you very much for coming up. You're good subjects to experiment with, okay? You may go back to your places, okay? Now comes our time in the service where we share our prayer concerns and other issues that we would like very much to share. What I would like for us to begin doing within the next few weeks is I want to place in the pews prayer cards for information. I'll be honest with you, when we speak in a large area such as this, I don't always pick up what you say, and I have a very sneaking suspicion that many of you don't hear clearly what is said either. So what I would like for us to do within the next few weeks, no surprises, but within the next few weeks, I want us to write our prayer concerns down and put them in the offering envelope so that when the offering is dedicated, your prayers will be too. And then I will take the information from your prayer cards and be sure it's included in the bulletin, if you want it to be. Now, I've also known of folks telling, you know, so-and-so is in need of prayer, and so-and-so didn't want to be remembered, much less put in the bulletin. So we run into some issues when we lift up people in prayer that don't want to be publicized. So this is something I would like to start within the next few weeks. I'll mention it again next week. But for my help in hearing you, and Virginia says I've always been hard of hearing, but I notice it's advancing with my age that, and I'm still very young, don't misunderstand me, but I want us to be precise in our prayers and also to be able to include that, if you want it, in the bulletin, okay? Which reminds me, would you please sign the registry of attendance? I would like to know. See, I will remember where you sit, and I'll take those registry of attendance, and I'll be able to associate a name with where you sit, and of course your face, and also we'll get your address. So I'm learning very slowly. It's really bad for a preacher not to be able to remember names, but I confess, I find it difficult. We had a bishop one time, Ellis Finger, that could remember not only your name, but what you were doing 40 years ago when he remembered seeing you for the first time. I said, oh my goodness, some people are very, very gifted. A third thing I wanted to mention before I open up for prayer concerns for you is that Wanda Robinson called me about 30 minutes before having left for church here, and Misty Harold, her granddaughter, the mother of the twins, she became very ill last night, and Wanda had to take her to the Oak Ridge Hospital. They worked with her and finally decided to admit her, and she is in the ICU now. But Wanda told me she didn't get home till 5 this morning, and I said, by all means, you sleep in today. So please, let's once again keep the Robinson family, all of them, in our prayers, especially Wanda, the brunt of responsibility for all of those folks lies with her. And she is our secretary, business, etc., person with finances and so on. And we will keep her and our thoughts in our prayers, too. Now, Glenn Long, you're looking good, my man. Give us an update. Next week to the doctor to check on things. Other prayer concerns?
Thursday morning, 8 o'clock, I'll be having my eye surgery. Mark West, I'd ask you to keep Alice and I in prayer.
Larry McNally, Thursday morning, 8 o'clock, right?
Yes.
How many, 4?
Yes.
4 bypasses. So we will indeed keep you, sir, and Alice in our prayers, and I will see you over there before the surgery, all right? Thursday, the 21st. We certainly wish you all the very, very best. Other prayer concerns? Yes, ma'am. Everybody hear that? Jana Dixon. Still other prayer concerns? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Most gracious God, we adore you with our very being. We sing your praises. We enjoy your handiwork in this magnificent place to live, and most especially here in East Tennessee, where you paint such beautiful pictures with sunrises and sunsets, with the contour of the earth itself and the beautiful mountains and rolling hills. We are blessed with beautiful flowers and flowering trees as well. We're also blessed with a wonderful group of people in East Tennessee, a graciousness which pervades our culture and continues to reflect your magnificent image. So we give you thanks even as we praise your most holy name for all these blessings of life itself. But Lord, we confess to you that we have not been good stewards of where we live. We certainly have not been good stewards of our time, for we fritter it away sometimes, and we simply are not mindful that every moment of every day is built by you to praise your name. Dear Lord, we confess also that we've been very self-centered and selfish on occasion, but you bring us up short, and you cause us to reflect upon our purpose. You cause us to ask why all the hustle and bustle, all the running around, all of the schedule making and keeping, what's the point? Give us courage to ask ourselves this question. Help us to order our lives in the way that it reflects self, spiritual as well as physical discipline, so that we may indeed be useful disciples and followers of the Christ. Dear Lord, one thing you have instructed us to do. Many times you have told us to pray. And St. Paul mentioned pray without ceasing. Teach us how to do that. Help us to understand that everything is a blessing. Sometimes it is a challenge and we can't see a blessing there. But help us to turn challenges into opportunities so that we can find a way to change the negativity that will face us because we're alive into positive things that will say, yes, surely the Lord is in this place. This is none other than the house of God. Dear Lord, you have heard a number of prayer concerns. Your servant, Misty Harold, has her health impaired and is in ICU. Bless her and her extended family, especially Wanda, her grandmother. Dear Lord, be with Larry and Alice as he undergoes surgery on Thursday. Let him know that he has the prayers of God's people, this congregation, and God's people in his community and his neighbors as well. Bless Jana Dixon. She has health issues as well. Grant her blessings and restoration of health that she can indeed resume her lifestyle in such a youthful, wonderful way. Continue to be with your servant, Glenn. We've seen him improve over the last few weeks and months. May that improvement continue. Let it be straightforward. And let it be supporting his whole health in every way. Dear Lord, there are many others that we need to be remembering in prayers, some of which we have listed on the back of the bulletin, others of which are secret, and they remain in the secrets of our hearts. Be with all of us as we strive to be better people, better followers of Jesus. And what success we have in life, we would be sure to give you all the praise as is most due. For it is in the name of Christ that we pray this prayer, who taught us also to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Holy Spirit, breathe.
Comes the time in our worship service for the giving and receiving of God's tithes and our offerings. Would the ushers come forward? Thank you. are generous, O God, beyond belief, with us and all of your gifts that you freely give. Accept now a portion of what you've given us as we give it back to you for use in this your church and this church's ministry and mission throughout the world. Amen. Our hymn is Come Holy Spirit, Our Hearts Inspire. It's number 603 and also found on the screen. Our Old Testament lesson is found in the book of the prophet Isaiah. From chapter number 7 of Isaiah's prophecy, beginning with verse 10, and then reading through verse 15. And then we will turn over to the Gospel of Luke and read from chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. So let us hear the word of the Lord. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, Hear then, O house of David. Is it too little for you to weary mortals that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. And then from the gospel, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. And you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Amen. And here end these readings from God's most holy word. Let us pray. Lord, be with us during the preaching and the hearing of this sermon. And may your word for our day and the times in which we live be heard among these words and our reflections. Amen. And so we continue, phrase by phrase, with the Apostles' Creed. Today, of course, dealing with a phrase, two phrases actually, that we've already read or recited, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Unfortunately, throughout the history of the church, the whole idea of the virgin birth has caused a great deal more friction, that's right, heat, than it has light. And I think that most unfortunate, because most of us, when we go firing off in every direction, most of us do not have enough information, and we may be firing off in the wrong direction and maybe perhaps hit the wrong target. Now, this was brought home to me when I was just a kid. I couldn't have been over 11 or 12 years old. The Revised Standard Version of the Bible had just come out. And I was invited to go down and see a Mrs. Shaw, who was a teller in the local bank. And so I walked from my home, the parsonage, and I gave my money to Mrs. Shaw. It was the first Bible I ever bought. And it was the brand new Revised Standard Version. Now, I don't know if any of you remember the firestorm that that translation brought out into America and other English-speaking people. You remember that, anybody? Some of you do. And the reason was is because the translators put into Isaiah, "Behold, a young woman will conceive," instead of a virgin. And so we thought that the translators had eliminated the idea of the doctrine of the virgin birth, and so many people were generating heat and didn't have any light. Dear friends, in the Hebrew, the word virgin is alma. It's also translated young woman. And many of us who might have been upset because it was translated as its first translation failed to get the idea that if there were a young woman who was not a virgin, then she would have been stoned or she would have been married that fast. Now, that's what the Pharisees preached and taught. That's in the law of Moses. It's not slipshod like our culture is. It doesn't matter anymore, apparently. And you can read stats and see how many people are engaging in intimate activity as early as the sixth grade. So it's not our permissive society that we are reflecting upon, but a very strict society of the time of Isaiah and also of the time of Jesus. So, your Hebrew word, alma, translated young woman, maiden, virgin, is absolutely appropriate. What the translators of the King James Version did, they saw what was there in Luke and Matthew, and then read backwards into the translation of Isaiah, A virgin in the New Testament needs to be a virgin in the Old Testament. That's called, what's called, it's a very technical word, you don't need to remember it. It's called rabbinic exegesis. It means the rabbis decided to rewrite to fit the New Testament with the Old Testament prophecies. It's done very frequently. We do it all the time. We take scripture and we have it mean this, that, and the other without, and the word is exegeting, without lifting from the scriptures their original meaning. So Alma, Hebrew for virgin. Parthenos, Greek for virgin. Obviously, you know what that word means. Mary said, how can this be? I don't have a husband. She had Joseph, but she was betrothed to Joseph. A whole year of being engaged. They were married, and then they lived together as husband and wife. We've already talked with you about when she turns up pregnant, that is a scandal for Joseph and for the society. He was going to put her away, but the angel Gabriel says, you don't want to do this. Now, with that explanation of your great theological and biblical battle of the early 1950s, let's go forward. Let's think about the Holy Spirit with the Virgin Mary. Now, I illustrated for the young people, part of that was for also your benefit. I illustrated how we've got whole realms of communication in the spirit world that surround us constantly. Everything from the sound waves of the musical instrument, the piano, short waves for the higher pitch, great big long waves for the lower pitch. You know this. You hear music, it batters the eardrums if it's loud, but it's picked up by our mechanism. Also, have you ever noticed hundreds and hundreds of blackbirds? It's a phenomenon I've studied about many years, but have you ever noticed how those blackbirds in the sky will be going in one direction, and all of a sudden they go in this direction? Every one of them moves simultaneously. They go this way, and then, boom, they're in that direction. How do they know to do that? I've studied about that. What is going on in their avian minds to know when to cut, to change their direction? Something is being communicated. It is in a spiritual level or magnetic force field level, if you will. I'll give you another example. We're just now getting into this particular realm of our society and enjoyment of football time. Have you ever noticed the crowd? The play goes like this. The quarterback retreats. The flanker back runs a deep pattern. And the flanker back goes way up in the air and snags the ball. And then the defensive back comes underneath him and turns him upside down. And the whole crowd goes, ugh. You know what I'm saying? You ever notice that? Why did the whole crowd go, ugh? Because instantaneously they saw pain. And they felt pain within themselves, so much so that they grunted. You follow me? That kind of communication is in the spirit realm. Now, as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, please remember that adjective holy. If there is a Holy Spirit, that means there are also unholy spirits or neutral spirits. Be aware, test the spirits, the writer of John's letter says, to see which are of God. Test the spirits. And you know if they're of God if they witness to the Christ. So there's spirits everywhere. What we're concerned with is the activity of the Holy Spirit. And we see this with our prayers. Do you realize that the mind, the brain, is really and truly an ultra-weak radio transmitter with ultra-low frequency? Yes. We transmit stuff from here, ultra-weak, ultra-low frequency. I recognize this when in the New Year's Eve of 1974, my dad came down with a stroke. He was looking at a television and asked my sister, where do we get the other television? He was seeing two televisions up there. We took him to Park West Hospital. Virginia and I were living in the Tri-Cities at the time, and we came down to see what was the matter. I walked in after my own midnight service on New Year's Eve. I walked into the ICU. There was Dad, resting comfortably. And I asked the doctor, please, if he would do an EEG. You know what an EEG is? An electroencephalogram. So they did. They hooked up electrodes to my father's skull, and then came the results, the whirls. They came out. Recognition of impulses came out on a piece of paper. I said, what am I looking at? I don't understand this. Right here is where your dad had the stroke. These are abnormal. I said, okay, if you say so. They could read it because they were trained to read it. I could not read it because I'm a layperson. This is important for us, especially in the realm of prayer. Because when we pray, or when we say anything, we engage our brain waves in certain combinations, certain formulae that broadcast out everywhere. This means that when we get up on the wrong side of the bed, we are broadcasting negative things to who lives with us. I remember very frequently my mother said, go back to bed, you've gotten up on the wrong side of the bed. Anybody ever told you that? Yeah. Son, straighten up your attitude. What's happening is our brain waves were projecting or broadcasting negativity. A spiritual reality, mind you, but certainly not the Holy Spirit. So when we pray, we are focusing this ultra-low frequency, ultra-weak radio transmitter. We are focusing it to God. I don't know whether you realize this or not, but ultra-strong is awful loud. That's true. But ultra-weak goes further. It lasts longer. And it continues in its manifestation, in its strength and its power. If you don't believe the power of weakness, what is it inside of us when we watch any athletic contest that before long the victors seem to be blowing them away and our hearts feel sorry for the loser. You know what I'm saying? I watch a boxing match, which I don't do. I think it's too brutal. But when I used to, the guy that was being pummeled and beaten up, my heart would go out to him. Not you? You know what I'm saying? We love the underdog. The underdog excites our compassion. That's what I mean by ultra weak. The loser, we feel for. Now, with this in mind, and moving it into the realm of prayer, God is listening to us. But there is a fascinating book, verse in the book of Lamentation. Listen to this, please. Lamentations 3, verse 40 and following. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts as well as our hands to God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. You have wrapped yourself with anger and pursued us, killing without pity. You have wrapped yourself with a cloud so that no prayer can pass through. Oh, my. Let's think about this. Do you know how hard it is to communicate with you and with me when we're angry? Do we listen to reason when we're mad? Or do we continue to spew off fury, mad at you, and so on? Well, listen. Now we see Jeremiah saying to God, our prayers aren't getting through, God, because you have wrapped a cloud around you and it won't pass through. How many times have you and I thought that our prayers don't get any higher than the ceiling? We'll immediately say, well, it's my fault they don't get any higher than the ceiling, but not Jeremiah. He's saying, God, you're fed up with us. You have wrapped yourself with a cloud and you don't want to hear from us. That is a powerful implication. So what do we do when there's interference? We keep punching at the cloud. Don't stop praying. God may be distracted. God may be angry with us. God is God. He wants us to keep praying, to punch through what interference there may be. So then, God wants to act. God's Holy Spirit wants to impregnate this young woman, this Alma, this virgin. What does Gabriel do? Ask permission. The Holy Spirit wants to come. And Mary eventually says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me as you have requested. Now, many times we deal with the doctrine of the virgin birth and it's controversial. That's because we're trying to figure out how he did it. I have no problem with how he did it because of all this magnetic force field that God can do, that we can alter the heat of our hands by doing that. The spirit realm is amazingly powerful. Don't ever forget it. A smile can make a difference in a person's life. So can a frown. It's transmitted through sight, and it comes from here to there, their mind. So God wants to act. Let's look at not the biological issues. Let's look at not how did that happen, but ask the question, why? Why does God want to impregnate this virgin? With her permission. God loves the world so much that he wants to experience every aspect of human life, including pregnancy, conception and pregnancy and birth. You see, many times we think of Jesus coming from God to us. Yes, that's right, to save us from our sins. But we don't think of the other half of the equation. God sends Jesus to us so God can learn what human beings are like. God is spirit. Jesus is spirit and flesh. And what Jesus is doing is being God. God the Son. And God is experiencing what you and I have experienced. He's been there, done that, in other words. And there's no place in all of human existence that God has not already been there, including human conception. Now, what has this to do with Rockwood Church? Everything. Notice the theological action. God initiated a conversation through Gabriel with the Virgin Mary. We have here at Rockwood the body of Christ. That's what a church is. It is the body of Christ. Here we find the Spirit of Jesus, and everywhere I look, I see it. I watch you. I say, yes, there are wonderful people. Oh, yes. Now, you said yes to God when you put your clothes on and came to church today. Some of you couldn't come because they're out of town. Some of you couldn't come because they were up late last night. For whatever the reason, we're not dealing with that. But the fact that you are here means that you have said yes to God. I want to be open to what worship can bring to my spirit in the way of inspiration. And that is a very important word. Inspiration. It comes from the Latin in spiritus. In is obvious. In, to go in somewhere. Spiritus means the spirit. In spiritus, inspired. I want to show you what you're capable of doing. When I first came here, I didn't know what you were like. I'd heard, but I didn't know. But all of a sudden, Miss Joe Bell Masters comes, and she is all a flutter. You don't flutter, do you, Joe Bell? She's trying to get people together for a certain celebration. So I watch her. I watch all the folks get together to organize. Now, what did I, as your pastor, have to do with the planning of the celebration? Absolutely nothing. Remember? Not a thing. I wasn't in on the planning. I like to watch you do it, though. Was it successful, dear people of Rockwood? Did you all enjoy this? It was tremendous. Did you not see that letter from Wanda Weichel or hear it? We'll publish it so you can keep it. That's what I'm talking about. You folks were inspired in spiritus to celebrate here at Rockwood. You follow me? Now that's why I've encouraged you in previous sermons to wait for the Lord to inspire. I've been checking with you. What do you like to see done? Somebody said, well, let's reorganize the men's club. We used to have a good one. I said, yeah, I'll be glad to help you with that. What do you want me to do? Well, one of your predecessors made calls to all the men, and they showed up. I see. Well, I'm not going to do that. Oh, you're not? I said, no. I said, what happened to your men's club when that preacher left? It went, pfft. It ain't about me, people. It's about Christ. Now, I learned this lesson early in my ministry when I used to do everything. I would preach, I would sing in the choir, and sometimes I would direct the choir. And I would just scoot around all over the place. Finally, there was a very wise lady that said to me, why are you doing all this yourself? I says, because I can. I says, no, it's about you. It's not about the church. You want to hear people say, oh, he can be a musician too. Or he can be a director of a choir as well as preach. Isn't that wonderful? What a great preacher we've got. And I got the idea, it's not about you, Bill Fowler. It's about the church. So I told him, I said, yeah, I'll be glad to do that in the way of supporting you. But no, I won't organize it. I want God to inspire the men of this church to let it happen with your initiative. And don't tell me you can't do it, because I saw those ladies plan this entire celebration. And gentlemen, if you want a men's club, go for it. Because you're fully capable. You don't need a preacher to organize it for you. You follow me? I do have one thing I need your opinion on. I would love to teach a Bible study. And I know you've had a pastor's Bible study, but you have two other classes, and I'm not sure I want to be in competition with existing Sunday school classes. You see what I'm saying? So let me ask you this. What about a Wednesday night Bible study after choir practice? Now you let me know something about that. I love the Bible. I love to teach the Bible. That's what I did at Hawassee for 6 years, is to teach the Bible. So you let me know if you would like to do that. But I really want to be focused on my message Sunday morning rather than shifting gears from a Bible study to the message. And besides that, you already have two existing Sunday school classes. So you can help me. Where is your inspiration? I am inspired to teach. I'm not inspired to organize a men's club. You follow me? So, gentlemen, go for it. I will help you. And you let me know when you would like to study God's Word. I'll be glad to do that. So don't you think for a minute I'm trying to get out of work. I'm not. I work hard. It depends upon which work you want me to do and which work I feel inspired to do. Okay? That's where prayer comes in, dear friends. We are asking God's Spirit to come and inspire us. How? That's between you and God. But what we are to do is to say, with Mary of old, behold, the handmaid or the handsir of the Lord, do to me as you would. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.